I don't mind you coming here, wasting all my time. It's already started, Bruce. Bangor Brewer, John Babst have already canceled school for tomorrow.
USM, too. Saw that before I left the house.
Oh, boy. Springtime in Maine, 4:33 here on Downtown. And it's time for Sports Lit 101. Bruce Pratt here in studio with us, and we've talked a little bit about this book. And another story, Bruce, that you didn't know, I certainly didn't know anything about, and a fascinating one.
Yes, and to give it a little historical perspective, George Dixon was an African-Canadian whose father may have been a British soldier. He knew his father. It wasn't he didn't know who he was, but exactly what he did. And Dixon was born around 1870. Now, some people may remember, if you've been a diehard Sports Lit fan, is that we have spoken about Black Ice, a book that described how in Nova Scotia in the 19th century and early 20th century, there was the Nova Scotia Colored Hockey League, all black players. People say, well, where do the black people in Nova Scotia come from? Well, they often arrived because they had either been enslaved by or had worked for loyalists. Those of you who like that term, I would say traitors to the American cause, people that fled after as our revolution began. And many of them settled in the Maritimes. If you've ever been to Fredericton, New Brunswick, very loyalist town, great place, but very loyalist town. So Dixon was likely, his mother was likely a direct descendant of people that had arrived with the loyalists. Dixon himself was often called a mulatto, but he identified with his African heritage. He had a grandfather who was Irish, and he didn't have any problem acknowledging that either. But he was a remarkably small guy, and it's hard for people to understand that prize fighting in the late 1800s and early 1900s, the welter and bantamweights and featherweight classes were just as popular as heavyweights. We're also talking about the time where boxing transitions from the bare-knuckle days to the glove days. It is a time, though, when fights often were to the finish and could go 50, 55, 60 rounds before someone was declared the winner. Dixon was, according to John L. Sullivan, Gentleman Jim Corbett, the greatest fighters of the era, and by Sam Austin, the top boxing writer, the best fighter pound for pound on the planet. He was the first black champion. He was the first person to reclaim a title he had lost. He fought 800 bouts.
Oh, wow.
Some of them were exhibitions, two or three rounds or a little bit longer, but he also fought epic battles that lasted long, long times. His skill was that he invented shadow boxing, as far as boxing historians know. He learned how to train. He didn't train the way other boxers trained. He was always in shape for his fights. He was a very modest person. He was well-educated. If you read the things he wrote and said. Well, what Peter Loffley discovered in this book, however, was that he was born 1870, and sometime 7 or 8 years later, his family moved to Boston. Now, there were people in the Maritimes who had a lot of family connections to Boston, and people know how every year Nova Scotia sends a tree down to Boston, because Boston, after the great harbor explosion in 1917, which destroyed most of Halifax when a munition ship broke up, Boston sent people and aid. So there's a very close connection between Halifax and Boston. And while he was in Boston, he began to fight, but his first professional fight was back in Halifax. So it was a very fluid kind of thing. Here's what's astonishing. He's an African-American man, North American man. His manager, the man who makes him what he is as a fighter, is a guy named Tom O'Rourke. O'Rourke is not black. He is as Irish as can be. His daughter, Kitty O'Rourke, marries George Dixon. All right, so not only do we have an interracial couple, but we have a guy who will fight and win in New Orleans.
Wow.
Who will win bouts in other places in the South and other segregated places. And because all the great white boxers had so much respect for him, he had this extra kind of cover. I mean, he would beat people and they would say, well, I lost, but I lost to the greatest boxer of all time. Now, the story doesn't have one of those wonderful storybook endings, as it never does for boxers in those days, because if you fight 800 rounds, you're going to have some real problems. Dixon made a tremendous amount of money in his lifetime for that, for those days. His fortune at one time might have been worth, in today's money, $10 million.
Wow.
But he went through it. He helped people. He spent lavishly. He liked to live high on the hog when he wasn't boxing. But what's really amazing to me is that this guy's not on anyone's radar. If you look up great American boxers, you don't find Dixon. And here's what's interesting about that for me. At the time, in his boxing career from 1890 to like 1908 maybe, in those 18 years when he's really boxing well, it's the number one sport. It is the most right. covered sport in America. The biggest spectator sports are rowing regattas. I mean, we know from Boys in the Boat and other books that in the 1920s, 100,000 people would go to the Hudson River to watch a regatta. Horse racing was big. Baseball was coming into its own because it was a game you could play a lot of places. But boxing was huge. Mm. It got the front page of the major newspapers. It was a really big deal. So we're going to get Peter on, the author of this, Peter I don't know if it's Loffoli or Loffoli. I haven't spoken to him on the phone. And because I don't want to give too much of the story away. I want people to buy the book. And I will tell you, it's a short book. You'll be astonished at what this man accomplished at a time when it shouldn't have been unnoticed. But once he was gone, just another black fighter gone by the way, you know. And I think of him as bringing boxing from the dead ball era, if you will, into the modern modern age. Pretty much the same thing, but a tremendous, tremendous book. Shadow Boxing, it's the second edition. It's by Pottersfield, which is a press out of Nova Scotia. And the author apparently has written a lot of books about famous Nova Scotians. So the guy was called the Fighter Without a Flaw, George Dixon. Excellent. Amazing story.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And next week on the program, we'll be talking with the author, right?
Yes, with David Craig, the author of Ilsa Craig. David Florig, rather. David Florig will be talking about his book, Ailsa Craig, about takes place in contemporary Belfast and in the 1800s on an island where all the curling stones in the world are
Excellent.
Mined.
All right. Thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure.
We'll take a break. It's 4:41 on Downtown.
I asked to see her next week, and she told me I could.
I asked to see her, and she told me I could.
Herman of Herman's Hermits, and you are listening to Downtown. Enjoy yourselves.